you please welcome Mr. Alan Dawson?
I wasn't sure if there was going to be a bell or something else to bring us out of meditation. Well, you know that I'm Alan Dawson, and good morning. And on June the 10th this year, I gave this sermon a little differently to for a multi-faith open house that was on at that time, and was requested to present it to you. I made some adjustments, as it was particularly aimed at other faith groups that might have been in attendance. And many of you probably know the background of our denomination much better than I. So if you feel at all bored or sleepy on this long weekend, doze until coffee hour. But I do feel that we youths all need to be reminded from time to time about our history and what we affirm. The material is a bridge from the writing of Reverend David O. Rankin and Reverend Charles Eddis, Unitarian Universalist ministers, and with historical material from other sources. So in giving this talk, I'm only speaking for myself as a Unitarian Universalist, as we freethinkers, and you know that others in our denomination may hold different views of God and theological questions. My experience, many people outside our denomination confuse Unitarians with United, Unity, or any other group starting with Unit. This is probably because Unitarian Universalists are not a large denomination, and most of us do not proselytize or seek to convert anyone. There are only approximately 5,200 of us in Canada, although in the census we seem to have 17,000 who claim to be Unitarian. Perhaps we need to throw our net out to capture those other 12,000. There are 200,000 in the United States. More Unitarians are spread all over the globe. And in Transylvania, where we had our beginnings, there are as many Unitarians as there are in the United States. If you want lists of important dates for the Unitarian movement in Canada or early European Unitarian Universalist history, I can provide them. I'll begin with some of our history, moving on to a section with thoughts on religious points, and finish with Reverend Rankin's 10-point summary of our beliefs. I personally prefer the term affirm rather than belief. The word Unitarian comes from the belief its founders held 4 centuries ago in the unity of God, in contrast to the Christian belief in the Trinity, God in 3 persons. The word universalist comes from a belief in universal salvation, the belief that Jesus achieved what he set out to do in dying on the cross, thereby saving the human race from perdition. All souls were ultimately saved, whatever their color, beliefs, or morals. Universalists were popularly known as the No Hell Church. God was a loving God who would never condemn anyone to everlasting punishment. But anti-Trinitarian beliefs go back to the beginnings of Christianity, which, as we know, came out of the Judaic tradition. At that time, the theological teaching attributed to Bishop Arius, circa AD 250 to 336, a Christian presbyter in Alexandria, Egypt, concerning the relationship of the persons of the Trinity and the precise nature of the Son of God as being a subordinate entity to God the Father. For this, he and his followers were deemed heretical by the First Council of Nicaea of 325. They were pronounced heretical again at the First Council of Constantinople of 381. And it was at this council that the Nicene Creed was supplemented. Here is what I think is an interesting aside. The other day I was watching the four-part series on the history of England from Roman to the present day. Now, in the village of Kibworth, near Leicester in England, it said was a hotbed of nonconformists. So, like Middle Ages, looking at 1200s, 1300s. Okay. And it showed a list of different sects at that time, and among them were the Arians. So it seemed that the anti-Trinitarians were alive and well in England long before the Socinians and Unitarians arrived a few centuries later. Moving closer to the present, at the time of the Reformation, many thinkers in Central Europe, Hungary, Poland, Spain, had been returning to the theology of Bishop Arius. And the insight giving rise to the word Unitarian goes to Michael Servetus. He discovered in the uncorrupted Greek New Testament that there was no text to justify the Christian doctrine of the Trinity. He argued for a Christian view of Jesus more compatible with the Jewish and Islamic monotheism. This helped to influence radical Christian thought towards a unitary view of God, hence the word Unitarian. And in the 16th century in Transylvania, Francis David became the founder of the first Unitarian faith to be known literally as Unitarian. Francis David had originally trained as a Catholic priest before becoming a Calvinist, then a Lutheran, and finally a Unitarian. In the year 1568, King John Sigismund called the debate in the city of Torda to determine which of the established religions in the area would be declared the official religion of his realm. During that lengthy debate, Francis David held his ground against all the other established religions in the region and convinced King John Sigismund that to declare one religion as a state religion and to compel his people to follow that religion was wrong. The king proclaimed with the Declaration of Torda Unitarianism to be the state religion, but there would be religious freedom throughout his realm, the first such declaration known in history. When King John died, his successor did not hold his tolerant views, and Francis David was ultimately sentenced to prison for refusing to acknowledge that Jesus Christ was at least to be adored. And he died in prison at Deva in 1579. Slowly, Unitarianism made its way across Europe to England. At the end of the 18th century, Unitarians in the British Isles generally supported the French Revolution and American independence. Because of this, mobs burned Unitarian meeting halls, churches, and the residence of some ministers who had to flee the country. Then Joseph Priestley moved to the United States and founded the First Unitarian Church of Philadelphia. And he was a great friend of Thomas Jefferson, and then five U.S. presidents have been Unitarians. At around the same time, John Murray, a Calvinist preacher who is considered to be one of the main founders of Universalism in the United States, converted to Universalism in England. After his wife and children died, John Murray sailed for the United States in 1770 and first preached in the chapel built by Thomas Potter, an illiterate farmer. I'm now moving to our present day, and we'll draw material from Our Beliefs by Reverend David O. Rankin. And similar to Reverend Rankin, I came out of the Methodist Church. He in Pennsylvania, and myself in England. rejecting the church, going through a process of being agnostic, then an atheist, refusing to conform, we chose to be free thinkers. Rankin says that a number of years after leaving his Methodist church, he searched to find a compatible religious community. Eventually, he became a Unitarian Universalist minister. And he explains that there are ways in which we are similar to the other religions. Like the Roman Catholics, we have a long tradition extending over many parts of the world, from India to Hungary to the Americas. Like Jews, we have our heroes and heroines, Civitas, David, Fuller, Murray, Emerson, Barton, Anthony, Steinmetz, and many others. Although as an aside, I think we don't recognize them enough. We could have all icons on the wall. And we have a system of democratic polity, like Baptists, with the congregation acting as the ultimate authority. An elected board of trustees and a pulpit characterized by freedom of expression. As with the Confucianists, we have emphasized reason, wisdom, and knowledge. We have an eclectic system of theology like the Hindus, which encourages each individual to develop a personal faith that is not dependent on the demands of an institution. Like humanists, we have our roots in the experience of the world as it is known through touch, sight, sound, taste and smell. Like Buddhists, we accept the beauty, mystery and holiness of every woman, man and child, seeing each as a sacred vessel. The similarities of belief are not an accident of history. Rather, they spring from the receptivity of Unitarian Universalism to the surrounding culture. While our roots are deep in the Christian tradition, they also extend to the Greek philosophers, Hebrew prophets, and Renaissance thinkers, the mystics of the East, and the secular thinkers of the modern world. Now, usually it's very difficult for a newcomer to understand our approach to the religious life, but it is important to understand the traditional religious themes in order to approach an entire understanding of the Unitarian Universalist faith. We cherish diversity of belief as an institution. We call for commitment as individuals. And here are some of those approaches. On God, there is an acceptance of agnosticism, humanism, even atheism. There is also an understanding that belief in God can be manifested in many ways, from the idea of a personal God to an idea of God as ultimate reality. On Jesus, there is the idea that the Galilean is the highest model of the religious life. At the same time, there is an interpretation of Jesus that equates his ministry with that of Moses, Buddha, Socrates, Muhammad, and I personally add to this list Zoroaster, Krishna, Bahá'u'lláh. On scripture, the Bible is considered an especially unique and inspired. There is also the thinking that every revelation of truth in every era of human history should be highly revered and esteemed. On human nature, there is a belief in the devastating power of evil and a belief that all people can do good if their innate capacity for goodness is well nurtured and guided. On immortality, there is a belief that death brings the absolute cessation of mind and body, and there is also the belief in other numerous possibilities, from the immortality of the soul to the Hindu concept of reincarnation. Unitarian Universalism is a great disappointment for those who desire a creedal statement on the traditional themes of religion or feel that everyone in a church should hold the same theological views. But for those who feel the need to build their own personal theology, Unitarian Universalism is an exciting journey. Before moving to Reverend Rankin's 10-point summary of UU beliefs, I want to draw your attention to the pamphlet What Unitarians and Universalists Believe by Reverend Charles Eddis, from which I've taken some material. Reverend Eddis notes that our beliefs are subject to reason. There's no absolute truth. We must continually search for truth. That this life on earth is good, and we believe in social responsibility, human rights, basic human equality, in universal community, undivided by nation, race, sex, disability, affectional orientation, age, caste, colour or creed, as expressed in our seven principles and sources. And I find this pamphlet very useful when thinking of quick answers to questions about what Unitarian Universalists are or what they think about. On the strength of these principles, we're engaged in social action and environmental concerns. Unitarians founded the Unitarian Service Committee, the Memorial Society of BC, Canadian Unitarians for Social Justice, which you know has a very strong chapter in this church. We affirm human rights by being welcoming congregations. Must remember that our denomination in Canada performed ceremonies of union for same-sex couples as far back as the 70s, long before same-sex marriage became legal. Now, Reverend Rankin gives us the following 10 points, which provide a summary of the beliefs of Unitarians. 1. We believe in the freedom of religious expression. All individuals should be encouraged to develop a personal theology and to present openly their religious opinions without fear of censure or reprisal. And 2. We believe in tolerance of religious ideas. The religions of every age and culture have something to teach those who listen. 3. We believe in the authority of reason and conscience. The ultimate authority in religion is not a church, a document, or an official, but the personal choice and the decision of the individual. 4. We believe in the search for truth with an open mind and heart. There's no end to the fruitful and exciting revelations that the human spirit can find. 5. We believe in the unity of experience. There is no fundamental conflict between faith and knowledge, religion and the world, the sacred and the secular. 6. We believe in the worth and dignity of each human being. All people on earth have an equal claim to life, liberty, and justice. No idea, ideal, or philosophy is superior to a single human life. 7. We believe in the ethical application of religion. Inner grace and faith find completion in social and community involvement. 8. We believe in the force of love. That governing principle in human relationships is the principle of love, which seeks to help and heal, never to hurt or destroy. 9. We believe in the necessity of the democratic process. Records are open to scrutiny, elections are open to members, and ideas are open to criticism, so that people might govern themselves. 10. We value the importance of a religious community. Peers confirm and validate experience and provide a critical platform, as well as a network of mutual support. And Rankin closes with these words, which I also find in my heart. The return to organized religion has been one of the most significant events of my life. I found in the Unitarian Universalist faith a religion that suits my needs and temperament, that offers joy and hope in daily living, that provides an impetus for ethical commitment, that encourages a community of love and trust. It is good to be home. Thank you.